Okay, welcome everybody. Welcome to the last ordinary meeting of council for 2025. Thank you for your attendance. I declare the meeting open at 10:10. Sorry for the delay, but we did have a notification come through that Councillor Norrie was going to be late, so we held the meeting over until 10 past 10. Now, for visitors, Neil. Disclaimer notices. Nil. Three council meeting information notes, which are in the front there. Four, public question time. 4.1, response to previous public questions taken on notice. From memory is nil. 4.2, public question time. No one in the gallery unless we have anything in writing. Nil. Thank you. Five, announcement from the presiding member. Not a lot to announce there. A little bit of discussion after the meeting. Six, record of attendance. We have apologies. Nil, applications for leave of absence. Nil. 6.4, approved leave of absence, which is nil also. 7, declaration of interest, 7.1, 2 and 3 being financial proximity and partiality. Anyone? That's nil. Thank you. 8, confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting, a draft motion that the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on the 18th of November 2025 be confirmed as a true and accurate record. Another mover of those minutes, please. Councillor Harris. Councillor Cottrell, second. Those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you. Nine, presentations, 9.1, 2, 3 and 4, petitions, presentations, deputations, delegated reports. Neil?
Through the chair, we did have one presentation, but unfortunately they've pulled out at the last minute.
CEO. Ty Matson, thank you. 10 reports, 10.1 reports of Audit, Risk and Improvement Committee. CEO Ty.
Through the chair, that was in regards to, so we're at 10.2, the review of the policy amendment?
Yeah, we have 10.1 in the reports of Audit, Risk and Improvement. Down the bottom, but which isn't in the agenda.
No, so through the chair, so we did have had the Audit Risk Committee. Yep. There wasn't one held last month, hence the reason why it's not in there. So.
Yep, okay. 10.2, thank you. 10.2, Chief Executive Officer Ty Matson, review of the policy manual. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The policy manual is, as explained, is there to guide administration on a number of matters. Administration do review it at least annually, and particularly once a new council to come in. A review has been undertaken in regards to the current policy manual. There's a number of reasonably minor recommendations that you'll see on page 15.
Thanks.
So the first one is in regards to external complaints management. We've just gone through and probably tidied that up and really clarified roles, responsibilities in regards to the processes. There's some operational steps that have been removed out and will be incorporated in internal processes. They relate to staff, to complaints about staff. Now, just recognising that that policy is in regards to the conduct of other staff, or councillors, or the CEO, or the president, not in regards to service provisions of service and those sorts of things. So any matters to deal with staff matters should be the matter for the CEO to deal with. So there's just a few minor changes in regards to that. There's some minor things in regards to the rating policy, the corporate transaction card. We're just looking at removing the deputy CEO. As you know, we don't have a deputy CEO, so it's just replacing that with management business services. The information and communication technology is an internal matter and can be dealt with through some CEO procedures. So we're recommending that is rescinded. Again, superannuation. This really dealt with superannuation being paid over and above the extra 5% that if staff elected to salary sacrifice their own 5%, council would match that. Again, that's an operational matter and can be dealt with through council's approval through the annual budgetary process rather than in here, noting that superannuation for councils is dealt separately. Public question time. Public question time is actually dealt with through the standing orders. So that's to be pulled out rather than replicate the legislation, and it's really largely dealt with under section 6.3 of the Act, or the meeting procedures, local law. Apologies. And the last one is the elected member mandatory and ongoing professional development. That's just removing, there was a clause in there where it says requires a payments of over $82.50 without receipts will not be reimbursed. Typically, we will require receipts for every expense. I'm not quite sure where $82.50 come from, but we would require receipts for every expense. And if a receipt is not available, then we will, under the Act, we can deal with that through a statutory declaration. And again, that so it's just basically taking out those parts of that clause, that policy. Happy to take any questions.
Thanks, Ty. Any questions, councillors, in regards to the review of the policy manual? Thanks, Ty. The recommendation there, there'll be no further questions. The recommendation that council adopt the by absolute majority attachment 2, Leonore policy manual, which incorporates the changes to rescind, amend and adopt new policies as noted in attachment 1 to this report. The mover, please, and a seconder. Councillor Norrie, thank you. Seconder. Councillor Nodone, thank you. Those in favour, that's everyone. Thanks, Ty. 10.2B, Delegated Register Review, CEO Ty Matson.
Thank you. So delegations are providing the administration with powers that are provided to council. You can on-delegate some matters that typically those ones that don't require an absolute majority of council decision. These are reviewed annually and particularly every 2 years after we have a new council come on board. We've undertaken a review of the current delegation schedule. So if you look on, and I'll deal with these en bloc, A02 to A08, just simply changing the numbering. Basically, they'll go up a number, so that'll be A01 to A07. There's five new delegations that we're proposing. These are standard industry standards, and they allow execution of powers of entry under the Local Government Act. Typically, if there's situations where we need to enter onto land, then we can do. Then the Act provides for those provisions. Rather than come back to council, it's something a matter that the CEO can deal with. Now, this doesn't include, so we can't go inside people's houses, those sorts of things under the Local Government Act. So, just clarifying, that's not. It's just land essentially, and there's a in the delegation. There's some proposed conditions around that as well. The next one, A09, declaring a vehicle to be an abandoned vehicle wreck. As you are aware, from time to time we do get vehicles that for whatever reason have been abandoned on the side of the road or on local government property. If there's a estimated value of under $500, there's different ways we can dispose of that, but that requires it to be declared an abandoned vehicle. So that it just allows a simple way of some of these old vehicles to be disposed of without going through too much bureaucratic burden. The confiscation or collection of unallocated goods, there's a whole process that we need to go through if we do seize property that's, again, left abandoned on the side of the road, might be a campsite, those sorts of things. Just allowing that power to those powers through to the CEO. Disposal A11, disposal of sick or injured impounded animals. Unfortunately, we do get some animals that have been injured or might be seriously unwell. In some locations in the bigger areas, they will require like a vet to check, but unfortunately, we don't have that ability. So it's just making that assessment that if it is injured or sick, it can be either disposed of or, if we need to, we can take it down to Kalgoorlie. And I do apologise for the spelling in here. This obviously wasn't checked. So that's just allowing that decision to be made at administration level. In the Local Government Act, there's a whole host of powers that are provided through to authorised officers. Generally, if you think of rangers or parking inspectors and those sorts of occupations, there's some powers. This delegation allows the CEO to appoint an authorised officer under section, I think it's 9.19 of the Local Government Act. So we can say, right, you're an authorised officer. There's a whole heap of powers and responsibilities and checks and balances in regards to that as well. So it's just incorporating those in. From B04 through to B010, that's administrative, just changing how the layout. All the delegations should go directly through to the CEO, and then it's a matter of the CEO to sub-delegate. But in there, it does list sub-delegates being the manager of business services in regards to that, largely administration. The other main one is B11, which is a new delegation to the CEO to allow entering into leasing, licensing and tenancy agreement, particularly around the JP Epicentre, allowing, you know, if someone comes along and they want to lease a property, rather than bring it back to council, we're recommending that it can be dealt with administratively through the CEO. It's entirely up to you. These are delegations, they're entirely up to council. It's about your level of comfort in regards to how much power do you want to provide back to the administration, as opposed to if you want these matters to be heard by council, then that's entirely up to you. I will just remind you as well that delegations are reported through monthly at the execution of those powers as well. I'm happy to go through any particular items, and I will have this changed before it goes out.
Sorry, that's terrible. Thanks, Ty. Any questions, councillors? Okay. Right, there'll be no further questions. The recommendation the council adopt the delegation from council to the CEO and other officers as included under delegated to within the attached register of delegation attachment 2. Have a mover and a seconder. Councillor Sprigg DeSantis, thank you. And a seconder. Councillor Cottrell, thank you. Those in favour? It's everyone. Thanks, Ty. 10.2C, appointment of an independent presiding member to the Audit and Risk and Improvement Committee. CEO Ty Matson.
Thank you. So under the amendments to the Local Government Act, we are now required to not only change the Audit and Risk Committee to the Audit, Risk and Improvement Committee, the change of title and a slight change of scope. There's also a requirement there for all local governments to appoint an independent person as a chairperson of that group, or chair of that group. Recognising the difficulties in attracting a suitable candidate, the Goldfields Voluntary Regional, GV ROC, organisational councils, went out and sought expressions of interest to perform that function across the local governments in the Goldfields Esperance region, which we've done so. They've been shortlisted by the CEOs. We're recommending that Michelle Bennett be appointed to that position as the chairperson. Now, there are a number of challenges in regards to not only getting somebody up here, but we're also bound by the state government that, as to the fees that can be charged. It's $450 a sitting fee for that person, which is decent money, but at the same time doesn't not truly reflective of all the costs that person would need to get out to here and undertake those functions. So we still need to work through how that might look going forward, how many times I'll be here in person as opposed to potentially online. We also probably need to look at realigning some of those meeting dates to align up with other local governments in the area so that the person that's appointed can come up and do a host of local governments at the same time. We've been through, there is a confidential attachment there, which is the submission put in by Ms Bennett, which I'll draw your attention to, but otherwise the recommendation would be that Michelle Bennett be appointed to the as a presiding member of the Shire Leonora Audit Risk and Improvement Committee.
Thanks, Ty. Any questions, councillors? Just one from me. Do you know how many councillors have taken up Michelle's?
I don't have an exact answer. My understanding is that Laverton, Menzies and potentially Luna have all taken up Ms Bennett. My understanding is that Coolgardie, Esperance and Kalgoorlie have made other arrangements, but please don't quote me on that. I'd have to go back and check.
Thank you. Yep. Councillor Spriggs-Santis.
Through the chair. I have a question, please. On the confidential attachment, thank you for providing that information. I just have a question around the attendance fees per meeting and the additional workshop fee. It's still not a high amount. It just did differ from the sum that you quoted. It states $700. Yeah, thank you.
CEO.
Sure, through the chair. The having workshops are absolutely discretionary in regards to they're not a legislative requirement. We are limited in how much we can pay. We're bound by the state administrative tribunal, same as CIO allowances and councillor sitting fees. This all forms into that area, and their limit is $450. I think it'd probably be reasonable in regards to the additional cost, but that's something we can work through with Ms Bennett. And make sure they're all aligned with other local governments as well.
Thank you. Yeah, one would think that if Ms Bennett's going to be in the Northern Goldfields with the other shires, and hopefully we can align with the same pricing structure across the board. Okay, any further questions, councillors? Thanks, Ty. A recommendation there that Council appoints the Shire of Leonora Audit Risk Improvement Committees as independent member, Michelle Bennett, as independent presiding member. Have a mover, please. Councillor Spriggs-Santos. Seconder, thanks. Councillor Harris, thank you. Those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you. Okay, 10.2D, which is the proposed contract to manage Jet A1 fuel supplies at Leonora Aerodrome. CEO Ty Matson.
Thank you. As you may be aware, the AirBP have a refuelling and tank farm at the Leonora Aerodrome. That's for Jet A1 fuel, so that's obviously for the larger aircraft, so your jet engines, 737s, Fokker 100s, those sorts of aircraft. This agreement has been in place for a number of years, and it basically the Shire staff will check the facility in the morning, undertake a number of checks to ensure the fuel is fit for purpose and safe. The agreement, there has been a contract for a number of years, however it has lapsed and needs to be redone. The confidential attachment is a proposed contract to enter into with BP. And includes tidies up a few things, but also allows for an increased compensation payable back to the Shire as well to compensate our time that we spend there. Again, as mentioned previously, it probably doesn't fully reflect the value of that facility if we want to go out and operate it or for another supplier. But again, trying to attract somebody into place, and the value of it is strong or high, for the users of their airport, which then obviously the local government attracts landing fees and those sorts of things and makes it more attractive to do business in and out of the Leonora Aerodrome.
Thank you. Any questions, councillors? Councillor Norrie.
Through the chair, just that, yeah, so we've actually getting 2,000 a month instead of 500.
Through the chair, that's correct, councillor.
EBP done well, haven't they?
Thank you, councillor Norrie. Any further questions? Nothing more to add, Ty?
No.
Thank you. Recommendation there is that council approves the proposed contract between BP Australia Proprietary Limited and the Shire of Leonora for the provision of airfield representative services at the Leonora Aerodrome, require the Shire President and the Chief Executive Officer to endorse the contract and affix the common seal. Mover, please. Councillor Sprigg de Santos. Seconder was Councillor Taylor. Those in favour? Thank you. Thanks, Ty. Moving right along to 10.3, Manager of Business Services, 10.3A, Monthly Financial Statements, October 2025. Alex Baxter. No, let's go to Kiara Lord.
Manager of Business Services.
Yeah. Sorry about that, President. Through the chair, so these are the October monthly financial statements for the 31st of October. This is still in compliance with need to be reported to council every 2 months. There's nothing significant to note there apart from the fact that our annual financials are still pending the auditor's final confirmation. Once those are done, we'll be able to act on our opening balances for the update our opening balances for July 1st, 2025. There are still some timing issues identified in our material variances. These are going to be addressed January, February and start of the new year, just to deal with budget allocations in the correct, it's just a span of 12 months at the moment. We've fixed that so it spans a bit closer to what the actual expenditure and income expectations are, as well as some of the projects will be finalised throughout the next 6 months.
Thanks, Kiara. Councillors, any questions? Okay. No questions in regards to the monthly financial statements for October 25. Recommendation that councillors accept the monthly financial statements for the month end 31 of October 2025, consisting of A, comparison report, B, statement of financial activity 31 October, and C, material variances 31 of October 25. Have a mover for the monthly financial statements? Councillor Nardone. Councillor Norrie second. Those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you. Ten point 3A, Manager of Business Services, accounts payable September and November. Any commentary there, Kiara?
Just that over the since the last presentation, it's been 1.7 million expended. 1.3 of this is relates to back payments, which are payment of suppliers. A lot of that is due to large contracts. There was also the repayment of those grant liabilities to DSS were actioned in this period as well, which is about 600,000-ish.
Thank you. Questions, councillors? Thank you. Okay, no questions in regards to the accounts for payment, the recommendation there that council accept the accounts for payment as detailed. One, credit card transactions November 25 totaling $10,566.12. Two, direct bank transactions totaling $135,719.58. Batch payments totaling $1,320,079.21. And payroll payment from pay period ending the 24th of 11th, 25 to the 8th of the 12th, 25. And special pay 13th of 11th, 25, totaling $313,251.08. Have a mover, please. Councillor Norrie, thank you. Seconder? Councillor Nardone, thank you. Those in favour? It's everyone. Thank you. Thank you, Kiara. 10.4, Manager of Community Services. Shortly. 10.5, Environmental Health Officers Report. Nope. 10.6, Elected Members Reports. Nope. Thank you. 11, motions of which previous notice have been given. 12, questions from members without notice. 13, new business of urgent nature introduced by the decision of the meeting. 13.1, elected members. Yep. 13.2, officers.
Yep. Through the chair. Through the chair, we do have the financial statements for the November that were posted out to council yesterday. We'd seek to have that introduced as a late item.
Yep, 13.2A. Can I have a move and second that we introduce that? Councillor Taylor. Seconder, please. Councillor Harris. Those in favour? It's everyone. Thank you. 13.2, monthly financial statement. November 25, Manager of Business Services, Kiara Lord.
So this will bring us back up to presenting monthly financial statements the month after they are finalised. So this is just our November, so this is the most current up-to-date monthly financials that we have, apart from obviously the end of December, which we presented at the next Ordinary Council meeting. Again, the annuals for the audit haven't been finalised, so these figures, particularly with regards to depreciation, might vary slightly in the next report, but nothing else to note apart from those material variances I mentioned earlier.
Thank you. Questions, councillors? Okay, the recommendation there that council accept the monthly financial statement for the month end 30th of November 2025, consisting of A, B and C, corporation report, statement of financial activity 30 November, and material variances 30 November. Have a mover, please. Councillor Nardone, thank you. Seconder. Councillor Taylor, thank you. Those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you. Thanks, Kiara. Okay, that was the only one. Yep. 14, meeting closed to the public. We do have a couple of matters there to discuss, so we will adjourn the meeting.
The wavering of the rent, of the tenancy fee, of the rent, may not set a precedent for others to come to the, and expect the same. I'm wondering whether there can't be an increase in the Shire's contribution to counteract the $11,781. Do you see where I'm heading?
Very good question.
It's a very good question, and it's entirely within council. If council want to put an alternative resolution to increase the annual funding of the Blazers from $30,000 to $41,800 per annum, then that's entirely within your, and it achieves the same outcome. Or alternatively, you can decline to waive the fees at all.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think it's one way or another. I mean, I think if they seem to be paying for the space over there, it seems to be above board and everything's fine. I'm not saying it wouldn't be, but it's a better picture for everybody across the board. My personal opinion, but councillors' thoughts? Yep, 100%. Any other? Yep. Kiara?
Just for the... through the chair, for the motion, I'll just double check the account that it goes to so we can have a formal budget amendment then, if the alternative motion will be for a budget amendment.
Yeah.
If you just give me 1 minute to...
Yeah, no, 100%. So that 11,800, I know you're looking now, but you've still got movement in your own project funding? Yep.
Through the chair, we can we'll be able to find savings through in the current municipal budget. We're currently going through and looking at doing our mid-year review, but yep. I'm sure that we can. We've already saved on a few other projects. Yep. So,
but also going forward from that, we got our first meeting coming up with the Genesis as well in regards to the local funding or their contribution to Leonora in February, I think it is, which we'll make mention of that later on. But there's something there we might be able to play with as well. But for this particular case now, I think your suggestion and the way that we should go is going to look better across the board for everybody. And then we can, you know, well, I'm sure all the paperwork and all the agreements will be in place and what they can and can't do. So how big is that room and how many people are they expecting to employ? What's their goal? What's their aim? What's their vision?
So office one there is 13 square metres.
Yep.
And they're looking at just having two workstations set up in there.
Yep.
And then they have a little meeting area at the front of that office there.
Yep.
Intention, I think, is there to run more the business side of it rather than any programs or anything from there.
So that's the back office, is it?
Yeah, so it's the old Joal office.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. So we certainly don't want to turn it into a thoroughfare along those lines, is in my mind.
No, 100%. So through the chair, 100%, Mr. President, it has had those conversations, and it's one of the things that Blaze has actually raised with us to begin with.
Yep.
I know they set their behavioural expectations for their students are quite high.
Yep.
So that has been raised, will be monitored.
Look, I take my hat off to what Renee's done and what the work there. I think it's fantastic and what they're doing, and there's something the Shire needs to support, and we are supporting it in a big way, but there's probably an opportunity for us to support it even further going forward. But on this particular where we're at the moment, I think what Councillor Spector Sanders has come up, I think it's a really great option. Kiara?
Sorry, just confirming that it would not need a budget amendment. We do have provision in that community grants expense account to allow for that.
Happy with that?
I would propose that that we, on an alternative amendment, if it's it's okay with the councillor, that council amend the current community grant budget allocation for the Blazers from $30,000 to $41,800, reflective of. Yep, so that would be the motion.
Councillor? Yep.
Through the chair, just to clarify something, I think that's wonderful, thank you. And so, in effect, the Blazers wouldn't be expected to be paying the rent, and that process would be removed from their responsibility, but it's just documented that it's not waived, it's included in their funding. Yeah, beautiful, thank you.
Just to clarify, Councillor, we would we'd make the payments on their behalf into... Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So they would absolutely still pay it, but they just get... $41,800 from the Shire in an annual contribution.
Paper trail.
Yep. Yes.
Yep. Yep. Any further questions? Okay, do you want to read that motion out again, please?
So an alternative motion has been raised that the current community grant budget allocation to the Blazers program is amended from $30,000 to $41,800. in the current budget.
Okay. You have a mover and a seconder on that? Councillor Spriggs Santos and Councillor Harris. Those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you. Good job. Well done. Okay, 14.2B is the lease training room to JG Epicentre Shooting Stars. Ty,
So similar to the last one, Shooting Stars are chasing an office space in town.
Yeah.
They've been moved out of the school. And they've expressed interest in moving into the JG Epicentre as well.
Yep.
This one would only be to the end of financial year,
yep.
with discussions with them for a long-term place that they're looking into.
Yep.
So they'd be paying fees of the same $11,781 annualised, so they'd
yep.
be paying the $300. Yep. So they're just looking at finalising that lease and going into there as well.
Okay, just one question. Is there any other any interest out there in regards to office space over there currently?
Through the chair, sorry, CEO. The only other one that I'm aware of is through the Darlo Native Title Group, mm-hmm. or Wadada.
Yep.
Native Title Group, but this will, my understanding, will fill the JB Epicentre will be full.
Yep.
And we'll continue to work through another alternative location that might be available, if possible, through Darlow.
Yep.
But we are looking at some of the other buildings and whatnot, but there's been nothing, recent discussions.
Okay, so the Shooting Stars is just 6 months at the end of this financial year currently.
Yep.
Thank you. Further questions, councillors? Okay. So what's the recommendation on that, sorry?
That council accepts Shooting Stars offer to lease training room 2 at the JG Epicentre as per the attached draft lease.
Yep.
And number 2, that council authorises the Chief Executive Officer to execute the lease between the Shire of Leonora and Shooting Stars pending the outcome of the statutory local public notice period, which closes on the 18th of December.
Thank you. Mover and a seconder. Councillor Sprigg DeSantis. Councillor Norrie. Those in favour? Everyone, thank you. And the third one, 14.1C, lease Shire of Leonora Depot return appointee.
Yep. So currently the Shire of Leonora holds the head contract for the local containers for change program, which is facilitated through Woolwich Foundation.
Yep.
They've advised that they're unable to continue running that program.
Yep.
And the Worrell, who oversees the program, has run a tender process at the start of the year.
Yep.
With Return being the preferred provider of that service. They currently run the service in Kalgoorlie.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking at taking over the same site which Woolwich currently use.
Yep.
And given they are a for-profit company, that's where the lease fee has come into it.
Okay. No, sorry.
Just for clarification, then the Shire only involvement with this one will be that we'll lease the land, whereas
yep.
prior to that we were the head contractor, if you like,
yep.
and there's all sorts of obligations and risks to the council or
yep.
to the Shire and also myself personally in regards to that.
Right, so this is a lease for them to operate in that little bit of space there and conditions apply. Is there any other interest in regards to the money for container returns or whatever they call it?
No. Yeah. We didn't hear anything from the tender process other
yep.
than return it.
Wasn't a process
that
we undertook.
No. Yep, okay, no problems. So the recommendation is?
The council accepts return at the PTY LTD's offer to lease the containers for change space at the Shire of Leonora Depot as per the draft lease. 2, that council amend the fees and charges schedule to introduce a new annual fee of $1,320 inclusive of GST for leasing space at the Shire Depot for containers for change operations. And 3, that council, following the completion of the statutory public notice period, authorises the CEO to execute the lease between the Shire of Leonora and return it. PTY LTD.
Thank you. Mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Harris, thank you. Councillor Nardone, second. Those in favour? Thank you. To everyone. Good job. Well done. I don't have to give notice on those, do I? Just reconvene the meeting.
Yes,
Do we have a time? Give a time. Okay, so let's reconvene the meeting at 10:53. We're up to 14.2, public reading or resolutions that may be made in public, may be made to the public. Nil, 15 State Council agenda. Nothing, 16, next meeting, which is set down for February the 8th, I think it is that correct? Third, is it? February 3rd. Close the meeting at 10:53. Thank you.